Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, as we speak this morning, the former British Prime Minister David Cameron is giving evidence to the COVID inquiry in the UK. It's chaired by the retired Judge Heather Hallett, and it's expected to run for at least 3 years. In a moment, I'll speak to Tom Whipple of the London Times, who's been observing the first public sessions of the British inquiry. But closer to home, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has indicated that a scoping exercise for an Irish inquiry will take place later this year. But what is that inquiry likely to examine? Irish Times journalist Jack Horgan Jones is co-author of Pandemonium, Power, Politics and Ireland's Pandemic. And Jack is here now to take a look at what our own inquiry might look like. Jack, you're very welcome. So we know that many countries are planning COVID inquiries. Some of them, as I said, are underway or they've been completed. What are the main reasons why we would do one here? What would be the purpose of it?
Well, I suppose the stated reason from the government's point of view is to learn for the next pandemic. That's the most important one, because we are said to live in an age of pandemic, of pathogenic threat, where you have kind of species jumping pathogens evolving all the time. And the fear, I suppose, is that COVID may have only been the kind of appetizer for a more serious pandemic that could come down the tracks at some stage, not wanting to scare people too much. But I suppose at a basic level, I mean, COVID is something that happened now over 3 years ago, came to these shores over 3 years ago. It claimed thousands of lives. It claimed millions of lives worldwide, but thousands of lives here. It cost billions for the state to kind of engineer this totally all-encompassing response. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it was a traumatic event and a massive event in the lives of people up and down the country, which necessitated them to fundamentally change the way they lived their lives for upwards of 2 years. So I think just from a kind of first principles, public policy making point of view, there should be some kind of assessment, not necessarily only of how we did in the crude form of a body count, but how we planned the response, you know, how the kind of different power dynamics existed between, you know, HSE, NPHET and government at the time, and, you know, what could be learned going forward. The thing is that we don't seem to have made a very kind of, you know, we don't seem very eager to embark on that journey. Mm-hmm. We hear about it, you know, from time to time, but as you said yourself, other jurisdictions have leapt ahead of us and are well down the road.
So how close are we, do you think, to getting to the point where we'll have this scoping exercise done, leading to an eventual inquiry?
I suspect we're actually not that close, to be honest. Okay. I mean, go back to the start of the year, the then Taoiseach, now Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, in his round of kind of Christmas interviews said, look, you know, I want to do a COVID inquiry and we'll set it up next year. And then we had a couple of things that meant there was increased public attention on it here. First of all, Martin Cormacan, who was a member of NPHET, made a kind of high profile intervention in February, saying that, you know, he was basically critical of the length of the lockdown policies. And then we had the leak of Matt Hancock's text messages, all of which kind of had people thinking about COVID again. And around that time, the Taoiseach said that he wanted to have the inquiry established by the Oireachtas by the middle of this year. Now, it is the middle of this year, and there's still several significant outstanding questions about the structure and the format of any inquiry, what it might take. Like, do we know whether it's going to have a public-facing element? Is it going to be entirely public, partially in private? Do we know who's going to chair it? What are the modules going to be? Will it have powers of compellability? You know, will there need to be new legislation? What format is it going to be? You know, the state has several ways of conducting inquiries, all of which are kind of flawed. And we saw recent criticism by Judge Brian Cregan of that. So there's a lot of kind of known unknowns in this space.
Yeah, and we're not good at doing inquiries in a timely fashion in this country. And when you see the UK predicting that their one is going to last at least 3 years, people could be forgiven for having the heebie-jeebies about what we might be facing here.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that there is also, as part of that, a bit of a nervousness within the ranks of officialdom as well about, you know, the extent to which this could become something of a witch hunt, you know, something of, and it's funny actually, because I'm thinking back to when we were reporting on the pandemic and when myself and Hugh O'Connell were writing the book, we would kind of joke with sources and say, I save that one for the inquiry, you know, don't forget the inquiry be coming down the road. And that is a kind of mindset that I think exists within official Ireland, this kind of overweening kind of nervousness that, you know, there will be a day of reckoning. You have to account for what you did. And I think that's something that the now tarnished Micheál Martin was quite conscious of when he was asked about this when he was Taoiseach, because he would say, I don't want people to be minding their P's and Q's or looking over their shoulder the next time around. And he was kind of careful of that dynamic emerging. But I suppose it remains to be seen whether the political system or the official system can kind of balance those competing interests and still establish an inquiry. But I don't think that's necessarily a good argument against having an inquiry in and of itself.
All right, well, let's bring in Tom at this point. Tom Whipple, science editor with the London Times. Tom, thanks for joining us today. Your own COVID inquiry where you are set up by the Johnson administration in 2021, and its public hearings began last week. So can you tell us in broad terms what form it takes?
It's sort of investigating everything that's happened in Britain between about, you know, March 2020 and about 18 months after that. I mean, the nature of COVID was it was utterly all-encompassing. And this inquiry, it has legal powers to call people, and it's looking into it. Baroness Hallett has tried to divide it into six modules so far, although there is a promise slash threat of more. We're starting with pandemic preparedness. She said she wants to answer three questions. Were we prepared? Could we have done better? And what can we learn for the future? And so broadly speaking, that's going to be it. And we're going to, as you said, we're going to try to have it done, at least the public hearings bit, done within 3 years, which is actually, by British standards, going great guns for an inquiry.
This diagram was introduced to the inquiry by the King's Counsel, Hugo Keith. A fascinating diagram. Can you describe that for the listeners? It's very difficult to describe, but I'll ask you to give it your best shot.
So this was a diagram which was meant to show the chains of accountability and decision-making in the UK pandemic administration. It looks a bit like, if you imagine a sort of crazy anti-vax conspiracy theorist drawing links between George Soros and the Illuminati and Bill Gates and then all of these mad flowcharts, that's exactly what it looks like, but it's the Cabinet Office and the NHS England and all of these different bodies. I mean, it's massive, and it looks like a sort of diagram of how to effectively pass the buck continuously for 3 years. I mean, it is, as I wrote, sort of, you know, to sort of accountability what Escher is to Stairs.
Yeah, it's impossible to make any sense of it, essentially, on a quick viewing. So the inquiry then will be looking at, as you say, just about everything that happened over that period. But it's also looking back on the preparedness question, looking back at how ready Britain was. And that's why David Cameron is there today. What's he being asked about? Oh, we seem to have lost Tom's line. Oh, sorry, Tom. Your line just dropped there. So we missed the start of that answer. So if you could just say it for us again. Thank you.
We had a slightly chauvinistic view, I think, that we were really quite well prepared. I mean, Britain is good at science, it is good at biomedical science, and we had a pandemic plan. This was tested in 2016. It was called Exercise Cygnus. And they tested this plan, and this plan essentially involved 300,000 people dying in 15 weeks. So it was a plan. It was arguably not a good plan. And that was the reality of what hit us in March 2020. The realization that, you know, irrespective of whether that would have happened, which is a different question, that's what our plan said was going to happen. So we had a plan for dealing with the aftermath of a pandemic, which was probably quite a bit under-costed from what that many deaths in that period of time would cost, but not actually a plan for stopping something which the public clearly deemed unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Jack, just looking again at what we might examine here, I'm sure there are people listening to this who would say that what happened in nursing homes during the pandemic here in Ireland, that might merit its own inquiry, a standalone inquiry.
Yeah, and I think there have been calls for that, and I think that there's several legal cases as well, people taking effectively wrongful death actions against the government, which is another element to unpick. But I think that's right, and I think that just to kind of zero in on the start of the pandemic and, you know, what happened in nursing homes in that first wave, it's important to remember as well that there was a very, very ruinous third wave that hit nursing homes as well. But like, if you look at how the government was preparing as COVID came over the horizon and hit Italy, there was very much a sense, and I remember Simon Harris is quoted in the book actually saying this, that, you know, we were preparing for a pandemic along the Italian model, i.e. one where ground zero would be in the acute hospitals, and the most obvious manifestation of the impact of the virus will be hospitals becoming overloaded. And certainly while the hospitals did come under pressure, there wasn't that kind of mass wave of infection because we did lock down, and perhaps because we were focusing so much on that risk to the acute hospital system, what we did miss was the very clear and present danger to people who lived in those kind of residential care homes, be they for people, older people or people of limited means or whatever. And I think that when you look into the kind of the documents that are there, that focus was, it kind of blinded everyone, everything else when it came to hospitals. You know, there was even a push to kind of decant hospitals of people who were unwell but getting better. And oftentimes that meant putting those people back into nursing homes.
Mm-hmm. Or other residential settings, causing those huge problems.
Exactly. And that was coupled at the time with the lack of a surveillance architecture, which would have meant that we had a real grasp of how widespread COVID was at the time, because it's clear that while we were all used to kind of looking at those very early and very low case numbers and we're all terrified when the first cases came to these shores, COVID was here significantly before that, and mm-hmm. it was spreading silently, and we didn't understand exactly how it manifested itself. We didn't understand how the symptoms could be different in older people. So that's just one kind of small, albeit kind of very damaging example of how the response was not necessarily wrong, because it wasn't a novel threat. I mean, it's not necessarily the case that someone has made a malign error here, but certainly, you know, there's a chain of causation there that I think needs to be properly understood for future reference.
Tom, just finally to you, what's your assessment of how interested the British public is in the inquiry as it's underway?
There's been a flurry of interest as it started. I can't see that being maintained for 3 years. There is a niche of people on sort of all sides, because I think we can now talk about sides in COVID, who are very interested. And I think they're probably at the madder end of everything. I mean, it's something that the country has moved on, but also it's an all-encompassing thing. And we're going to get days like today where we get former prime ministers coming on, where we get the chief scientific advisors coming on, and where I guess people want answers.
Tom, thank you very much. Tom Whipple, science editor with the London Times, and Jack Horgan-Jones, of course. And a reminder that Jack's co-authored book is Pandemonium: Politics, Power and Ireland's Pandemic, and it's available now. Thank you both for joining us. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.